Business Insights with Arch Publications, hosted by Katie O'Regan.
You're listening to the Arch Publications Business Insight Podcast, and I'm Katie O'Regan. Now, a couple of months before they announced the date for the general election, I had the opportunity to interview Sarah Russell. Sarah Russell is now the candidate for the Congleton constituency for Labour. And we had a bit of a chat about all things business, and I wanted to find out a bit about her. I have since then put a request out to the other parties to interview their candidates, but so far I've had no response. If you are a member of one of those other parties, then please let me know, because I would love to have you on our Business Insights podcast too. So sit down, have a cup of tea, and have a listen to my interview with Sarah Russell.
The Arch Publications Podcast.
So my name is Sarah Russell. I am a mother of three children. I'm married and I live in Congleton. I'm a solicitor and I specialise in employment law. I'm self-employed and I consult through various different organisations. And I'm also the Labour Party's parliamentary candidate for Congleton constituency.
That's a lot. You haven't just sprung up out of nowhere, though. You have been around not that long, because you're still very young to have achieved all that. So tell me just a little bit about where you're from originally.
So I'm originally from London. I've lived in quite a number of different places across the country. But most recently, we spent over a decade in Manchester, and we moved to Congleton nearly 2 years ago now. And we really love it here.
What's your career journey been then? Because you're obviously a solicitor. So was that something you wanted to do when you were very young?
So from when I was in my teens, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to do law or politics.
Okay.
And
so now you do.
Yeah, exactly. And I have been kind of doing both, really, for probably the last 10, 12 years now.
What area of law do you work in?
So I specialise in employment law. I predominantly represent individuals, but I also give some advice to small business.
Are you based, you're self-employed now, but are you based out of a particular solicitors predominantly?
So I'm based out of three different firms, actually. So I have two firms from which I advise private clients, and I also help at a law centre where I supervise and train the more junior lawyers.
How do you have the time to do all that, and then what you've started to do now?
I'm exhausted, Katie.
So, when you lived in Manchester, was it Withenshaw you were you based out of?
I represented a ward in Withenshaw, but I actually lived in Whalley Range.
Ah, okay. And when you say represented, you were a councillor for the for Manchester City Council.
Yes, I was.
And how did that start?
Well, I got involved in the Labour Party because I was really interested in employment rights, and I was bringing a lot of settlement agreements for individual women, particularly who are involved in maternity discrimination. So, seeing a lot of discrimination, and you know, it's horrific for the people who are involved in it. So I joined the Labour Party and I started door knocking. We lived in Leeds at the time. And then I moved to Manchester and I needed to make friends. So I was involved with the local Labour Party there. And someone said to me, oh, like within being at a couple of meetings, oh, you should become branch secretary. You'd be good at that. And then another couple of meetings passed and someone said, well, there's this thing about becoming a councillor. We think you should go to that. So I went to that. And then in the meeting about becoming a councillor, they had you fill in the form.
Right.
Yeah. And then so I kind of went along to that, and they were like, well, you should submit this form. And I was like, well, I filled it in.
I'll just check for spelling mistakes. There we go.
Yeah. And so quite quickly, I mean, actually, I was pregnant at the time, but quite quickly I was selected. And so whilst I was on maternity leave, I was running this election campaign to try and win the seat for Labour from a Liberal Democrat. You know, we did win it, which was fantastic. And then I'd got this 8-month-old baby in a councillor seat, and then I had to go back to work. So it was all exciting.
Yeah. Why do you think they selected you?
So I really care about people. And a lot of what I did at the council, actually, you know, some of it was very community-based. So I lobbied a lot for improved crossing points, because I really care about road safety. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time working with a local primary school, and eventually we managed to get them a dining room extension, which was really, really important, because it was a behavioural flashpoint within that school.
Yeah.
Was lunchtime, because the dining room really wasn't big enough for the expanded school places that they now had. So I think what probably came across in the course of my kind of application process was that I'm very tenacious, and if I can see that a community needs something, I'm quite flexible about what that thing might be. I don't think I'm there to tell people what they need as their representative, but I listen to them. I'm interested in other people, and I want to help them achieve the things for their community that they care about.
Yeah.
And I think that probably came across because I am passionate about it.
So was it a big decision to leave then and move to Congleton?
I was really clear that I had had a fantastic time in Manchester, but that what I wanted for my family had become something different. Mm-hmm. And we saw Congleton, and it was beautiful and very safe. And that was really the environment that I wanted to raise my family in.
So, I mean, you're not from Congleton originally, but you've chosen it for those reasons then. You put a pin on a map and said, this town will give me what I want for my family.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got good quality schools, it's got beautiful green spaces, it's got vibrant local businesses, the high street is lovely. You know, we looked around it and we're like, yeah, we can really see ourselves here. This is the kind of people that we are. This is lovely.
Yeah.
And I also mostly grew up, as did my husband, in a market town in Hertfordshire.
Right.
And actually, I think in that respect, Congleton feels community-wise quite similar.
Do you find, as a working mum, there is enough support for you to be able to do that and look after your children?
Well, I think for anyone who has children away from their extended family, I think that will always be a challenge. I've got friends who live close to their parents who are able to provide a lot of mutual support, and that, you know, that would be of great assistance, but for various reasons we don't have that. You know, that there's breakfast clubs and after school clubs, and there's holiday activities. You know, there absolutely is stuff here, but you know, I would be lying to you if I said that everything I do is kind of a complete walk in the park, and that having three primary age children and looking after clients and doing politics was easy. It's not easy, but I believe in it. I think it has the potential to make a huge difference, and that I can contribute to the community, and I'm prepared to put a lot of work into that.
Yeah. So you have been chosen as the next potential Congleton MP for Labour. That's a huge thing. When you found that out, how did you feel?
Thrilled. Really thrilled, really grateful, really excited, aware that it was a significant responsibility, aware that I would be quite heavily scrutinised potentially on a personal level, very aware of the implications for my children, who I would like to have a normal life, but who, should I be fortunate enough to win, realistically this will change their lives. Lots of different feelings, but primarily of real gratitude.
Yeah. And what qualities do you think, as I know this is a very, very broad question, but what qual if you know if in a year's time you are standing in that position, what qualities do you think you'll bring to that role? It's like a job interview. Honestly, I'm not that serious normally, but you know, sorry.
So I hope that what I will be able to bring to the role first and foremost is that I care about this community, and that I want everyone in it to have good opportunities to be, you know, whether that's good opportunities at school, good opportunities to set up a business, a good working life, and then also to grow old in the ways that they choose, whether that's, you know, hopefully with, you know, a long period of good health, but if that does decline over time, with appropriate care, you know, for people where they need it. So what I hope I bring is that understanding of the community, which I'm sure, you know, we're doing a huge amount of door knocking at the moment. I'm talking to vast numbers of people. I'm going to events with the Chamber of Commerce. I'm trying to get to know all the different communities within the constituency. So I hope that what people will feel and will see is that I live in this community and I'm part of it and I care deeply about it, and that I want to help them and be their voice in Westminster, in what I hope will be a Labour government, that I will be able to represent the things that they need to steer the policies of the Labour Party towards delivering for this community.
I mean, the area you cover is actually quite a big area, isn't it, with a few towns. It's vast as in rural as well. I mean, how do you plan to make sure that you reach those different types? Because the communities are slightly different. How do you plan to kind of reach the different needs of those communities?
So sheer hard work, frankly. So I have already been and met with a group of farmers. As I say, I'm engaging with the Chamber of Commerce. I try to talk to as many community groups as possible. And if there are people who would like to meet with me, I would definitely encourage them to find me on Facebook or, you know, by other means and get in touch, because I'm happy and delighted, in fact, to meet with community groups. We're knocking in every single area of the community, all across the constituency. We're making a point of ensuring that we rotate between different towns so that we're talking to people everywhere.
Yeah, I do think that people need to take responsibility as well to reach out to you, like you've mentioned. I think you're only going to be able to be, you can't spread yourself thin totally, and I do believe people need to take that responsibility to learn about what your values are, learn about what you believe in, and reach out and find out that information. I think that's a fair thing for people to do, and that's one of the reasons why we're talking today, because I'm interested. And one of the things that's particularly interesting to me is business as a business owner. So right now, what do you believe are the most important issues affecting small businesses right now?
Well, I think there's a sort of, there's almost in my head three different groups here to talk about. There's businesses on the high street that have physical premises. Mm-hmm. There's businesses that are genuinely sort of what I would describe as small businesses. So I'm essentially self-employed. I'm kind of a one-woman band.
Yeah.
And then there's sort of more small, medium enterprises, you know, we're talking kind of between 50 and 250 employees that are another category of businesses. And I like to think that Labour has policy that will potentially address the needs of all three of those groups.
Okay, so let's just go for the middle then. What policies do they have in place that you think would support that middle group, which are probably most of the businesses that I have contact with on a daily basis?
So depending on the precise nature of those businesses, I think there's kind of two parts to this. Part one is that Labour's overall goal is to see the highest sustained growth in the G7.
Right.
And I do think to some extent the rising tide lifts all boats. What we need is stable leadership of the country, mm-hmm, that will give businesses, small, medium and large, the confidence to invest.
Yep.
The confidence that there's going to be a stable regulatory environment, the confidence that the person in charge is going to be stable, the confidence that we're not going to see the kind of economic shocks and sudden changes to interest rates that we saw under Liz Truss. Mm-hmm. So I think we absolutely, you know, just basic stability, I think we should be aspiring, and Labour does aspire to far more than that, but actually just providing a stable economic backdrop, mm-hmm, is, I think, really important to all of us. You know, whether that's to make sure our mortgages don't go up, you know, whether small businesses being exposed to really high sudden energy bill changes, you know, just that baseline of knowing what is coming, not just tomorrow and next month, but actually next year and the year after and the year after that.
So you have touched on retail. So are you planning to do anything to support retail locally now? I just want to ask you about something they're doing in Crewe, which I think is great. It's the repurposing our high street programme they've got. They've got some levelling up funding in Crewe Town Centre. Like, there's a square of Crewe Town Centre, and you can apply for grants for up to 30 grand to take an empty premises and turn it into a shop. So they are looking for businesses that are sustainable. They don't want businesses that are, you know, vape shops and things like that. They want good quality businesses to apply. And with the support of the landlords, that funding can be used to improve the premises or put equipment in, because if that business doesn't last in that shop, they want to then be able to hand it on to someone else and say, look, this premises is amazing. And I think it's a fantastic idea. Now, I know it's from levelling up funding, but I just wondered whether that would be something that could work in areas like, you know, Congleton and Sandbach, where we've got a few, not so many as Crewe, but empty premises.
So at the moment, Labour's specific plan around empty premises is around giving councils more powers. So if a shop has been empty for a year or more, local councils will be able to take control of that building and re-let it. The rent will still go to the landlord, but the landlord will not control that anymore. And I think that would potentially act in two ways. One is, where necessary, councils will be able to step in and take that action. Mm. But I think much more desirably, actually, landlords will take a view that they'd much rather control who was going into that shop themselves. And I think that will spur as a massive potential incentive to get landlords to refill their premises.
Yeah, and what about business rates? I mean, I can imagine some of these shops might be slightly below rateable value, but some of them, is there any support in that you have in place and plans for with business rates?
Yes, so business rates are a major focus of Labour Party policy because we are very aware that at the moment they are extremely unfair on SMEs relative to, for instance, big multinational companies who are choosing where they are headquartered. Yes. And declaring all of their profits, you know, in places with much lower tax regimes, so they end up not paying any actual tax in the UK, or very little, compared to the money that they are quite clearly actually making in the UK. Whereas, you know, your average local business is going to be paying business rates and all other local taxes and taxes on their income and genuinely declaring them, with the effect that actually those small businesses are non-competitive, and that's completely unfair and is really bad for the vibrancy of our high streets. And everyone wants to go to a high street that is, you know, has the shops are full and those shops are nice businesses, and, you know, we all want that. Mm. So yeah, Labour's plans around that involve reforming business rates. We're going to scrap them completely and restart from scratch.
Oh, wow.
So there will still be a business property tax,
yeah,
but it is going to be completely reformulated.
How do you have any idea of how that'll look yet?
No. So the honest answer to that position is, we, at the moment, the Labour Party hasn't released its manifesto yet because we haven't got an election date.
Yeah.
So what we have is what's called the five missions, and there's some information about those on the website. But the sort of the small business document at the moment is 20 pages, and it includes this as one of the things within it, but it doesn't have full driven down detail yet. And I think some of the things that the Labour Party has announced previously, the economic position has changed, and so we've had to flex some of those announcements. So I think at the moment, this is an announcement of kind of principle. And then once we get closer to the election, we will see much more detail in the manifesto.
And will you have any input in that?
All Labour Party members have the ability to participate in the National Policy Forum and make policy suggestions and to contribute to motions that go to conference. There's a whole kind of process in, yeah, the background around the generation of policy, which all Labour Party members can contribute, yeah, to. So insofar as, you know, that process exists, then yes.
So I want to touch on rural. I know you recently met with farmers. What do you plan to do to support the farming community and in help, you know, helping them continue to produce produce for this country?
The current set of agricultural subsidies don't work and don't make sense. And when I had a meeting with the farmers who I spoke about previously, and they were extremely clear that they want to produce food. Mm. They want to feed the nation. But we at the moment only produce about 60% of the food that we need in this country. And that leaves us very, very susceptible to international price shocks and potentially to national defence issues. And the world at the moment feels like a very unsafe place. So I think it is really important that Labour has an emphasis on farming. And that is definitely a developing policy area for us. One of the things that we've been talking about that is Labour Party policy is about making sure that there's a minimum target for public sector food supply to come from British farmers, because that's a very kind of meaningful way of making that happen.
Would costs not be an issue for that, though?
I think in terms of having a secure food supply, yeah, that seems to me to be a pretty invaluable public good. I mean, we absolutely cannot leave ourselves in a position where we can't guarantee food for our people. And we have seen that the subsidies as they stand really don't work. I mean, the egg shortages that we've seen and the food price inflation that we have seen recently has been absolutely horrific. I think everyone has felt it. And I think that we need to to be thinking in more long-term ways in this country about cost and value, because I think we have a huge emphasis on cost and insufficient emphasis on value.
I do worry about how farmers are often overlooked because, you know, in cities, people don't necessarily see the issues around farmers. How do we get people in more urban areas to understand the difficulties that farmers are going through?
So I think that's a really good question. I think it's really, really important that the Labour Party is currently in listening mode, and it very much is. And I know that there are meetings taking place between our leadership and the National Farmers Union and all of those sorts of organisations. And certainly one of the things I'm very passionate about is making sure that Labour's plans in respect of things like rural crime actually get the time that and the hearing that they need, because I think things like there is an urban assumption that crime is only a problem in big cities. Actually, crime happens in rural areas. It just happens differently, and you need different strategies for tackling it.
So big question now. What economic policies would you implement if the Labour Party was in power today?
So we've got lots of kind of stuff in the pipeline. And so we've got really big but not necessarily very exciting stuff about using more pension fund money to provide patient capital for businesses, so that there is less of an emphasis on you've got to prove this percentage growth within a very, very short time scales. Private equity tends to be quite demanding in that way. And what we want to see is sustained growth, not just immediate growth. This isn't going to be a sugar rush. This is about building a better Britain. The other things that we've been talking about, though, that I think are really important are our green energy plans and the development of both a Great British Energy, so a publicly owned energy company, for us to try and bring down electricity bills both for consumers but also for businesses. So businesses in the UK are, I think it's about, they pay about 60% more for energy compared to average EU businesses. And that was the case before Ukraine. So it's not just a sort of function of that specific war or that specific situation. It is a long-term trend, and it makes us very uncompetitive. So it would be a huge bonus for our manufacturing industries if we were to put that in place. So that is one of our key plans. The other things related to that is that we're planning a lot of work on the national grid. We know that we need to do more work in the next 7 years on the national grid than has been done in the last 30 to really drive the improvements in energy availability that actually our businesses and our homes need. You know, if we're going to have electric car charging infrastructure, if we're going to have bus charging infrastructure, we are reaching the limits of the national grid's capacity. So what we need is this, as I said earlier, long-term planning and stability that enables us to have a government that is investing in the things that allows businesses to invest in their staff and in their infrastructure themselves. And that will drive growth.
Do you have any plans to improve transport in your area? Because it's very difficult if you are living in Gooseberry and you need to get to Leighton. How are we going to deal with that?
So I have every sympathy for that. I didn't learn to drive until I was pregnant with my second child. And the idea of trying to manage another baby on public transport, I was so grateful when I passed my test, I sat and cried. So I know that if people either choose not to drive, for health reasons can't drive, don't want to drive, then actually getting around is incredibly hard. And it is very hard in particularly our outlying villages, but even in our major towns. So it is absolutely a problem that I'm acutely aware of and of how difficult it makes things. I think there's some stuff that we're looking at around Sunday services. And I think some of the things that this country needs is like more joined up thinking. So what our plan for the NHS involves is increasing the number of appointments and reducing the NHS backlog, and part of that is going to be more weekend working in the NHS. But of course, if people physically can't get to the appointments, then those appointments are very little use to them. So one of the things that I know that is being looked at locally is whether we can increase our Sunday services on certain routes, particularly between our hospitals in both Macclesfield and Crewe. But I think more generally, Labour has plans to enable councils to take back public control of bus services. So that's not going to be an immediate solution to every single, you know, transport difficulty. But in the longer term, it is going to enable routes to be better planned around the needs of local communities.
Okay, a couple of things I want to touch on before we conclude. Firstly, the topic of domestic violence is particularly important to you. Why does it particularly mean so much to you?
I think it has just the most profound impact on the lives of so many people. So I'm grateful to say that it's not something that has very directly impacted on me personally, but I certainly know large numbers of women who it has impacted on. It impacts on children, you know, the kind of the ramifications for the whole of society of domestic violence and abuse are just enormous. And so, and I feel like it is a crime that is under-recognised, under-resourced. You know, if the number of women per year were being killed in terrorist attacks that are killed by their own partners, we would set up £1 billion government departments to deal with that, and rightly so. I am not suggesting that we should be slack about terrorism. What I'm suggesting is that we've got a situation in which women are dying in quite significant numbers, and actually, because it's always been that way, it's treated as if it simply isn't that big of a deal, and it shouldn't be.
So what would you do?
So I think we need to, apart from anything else, we just need a properly funded court system. You know, even when women do put their head above the parapet and admit what's been going on, which is of itself terrifying, and it's worth noting that sort of people say, oh, well, why didn't she leave? Women are most likely to be killed by a violent partner in the year after they leave that partner. So that's why they don't leave. But they also don't leave because it is extremely difficult to get a bed in a refuge, because they are frightened that they're partners will complain to social services about them and their children will be taken away. They, you know, there's a whole host of reasons why they don't do this stuff. So I would like to see infinitely better services in respect of drug and alcohol treatment and anger management to try and deal with these problems before they become such big problems. And when we've seen government cuts to local council funding, which is how all of these services are funded, this is a very hidden problem. So most people most of the time won't need a refuge bed. So they won't see that that local council funding cut means that some woman in their community ends up dead because she literally can't get a bed in a refuge. And then her partner finds out she was trying. So I do feel really passionately about this, but then we need the court services to be in place to actually ensure that women can. And, you know, obviously this problem does apply to men as well in much smaller numbers, but I'm talking here about women, but I am actually interested in all victims. But we need people to be able to get emergency injunctions. We need the police to take a proactive approach, which I think they've improved on over the years, to be fair to them. But I think there's still more to be done. The court backlogs in terms of prosecutions for rape, for violent crime, for actually all crime, are absolutely enormous. And when you look at the government's spending plans at the moment, the way that the current budget works, after the election, there will be approximately a 3% cut to public spending. Some departments like health and education are ring-fenced, so that cut will come out of a limited number of departments, and those departments will be cut very hard. Justice will be within that remit.
Right.
So those problems that we see within the courts and it taking years and years to bring things to trial will get worse, not better. So We need to see that actually being solved and the courts being appropriately funded. And then at the moment, the government's actually had an early release scheme because the prisons are so full. So actually people who are serving sentences for these sorts of crimes come out even earlier than they would have done already. So I would like to see stronger judicial guidelines around the sentencing of people who have perpetrated these crimes. But I also don't want to see people coming out of prison before they've served the time that they've been given.
So I recently had some issues around addiction, and for the first time in my life had to reach out to the doctor. And I was put in touch with an organisation that Cheshire East Recovery Services, CGL, is a drug and alcohol services in Cheshire East an important issue for you? I mean, you actually have just mentioned it, funnily enough. So I'm guessing it is.
Of course, and I want to thank you for being frank in what you've just said, because I'm sure it's a difficult thing to talk about. I think in terms of those sorts of services, yes, it's an important issue everywhere. There is nowhere in the country that families are not being touched by these issues all of the time. And they're not somehow ring-fenced in major towns and cities. They're all sorts of people find themselves in these situations. So yes, it is absolutely a very high priority for me. And I would definitely want to work with the council to help with these services, but we have to fund councils properly.
Thank you so much for spending some time around my kitchen table. I really do appreciate it. And I will hopefully speak to you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
The Arch Publications Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Arch Publications Business Insight Podcast and my interview with now Labour candidate for the Congleton constituency, Sarah Russell. As I said at the beginning, I have put out quite a few requests to the other parties to interview their candidates and so far had no response. However, I would still love to hear from them. So if you are a member of another party and you would like to be interviewed on our Business Insight podcast, then please get in touch because I'd love to sit down with you in our kitchen and have a chat with you. I'll be back very soon with another Business Insight podcast from Arch Publications.
Business Insights with Arch Publications, hosted by Katie O'Regan.